Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm Monty Larrick. I'm joined by Stephen Black with First Stone Ministries. He's the author of a great book, and that book is titled, Stephen?
Freedom Realized, Freedom from Homosexuality and Living a Life Free from Labels.
Wow, you can't say that. You're free from homosexuality. That's non-PC.
Yeah, that's right. That's what people would like for you to believe, and they would actually like for you to believe that you're born gay. But the reality is the science is now on our side. People are not born gay. There is no genetic condition or genetic disposition towards homosexuality. And people are finding that if they surrender their lives fully to Jesus Christ, that they can find liberty and freedom from the lust, from the identity, from the brokenness of their past, and walk in freedom in a surrendered, healthy sexuality submitted to God and His ways.
And you're a perfect example of this happening.
Yes, I came out of homosexuality 35 years ago. I lived as a gay man for 8 years. I had this transformative experience after a lot of pain and sorrow with the death of my brother. I looked at eternity and decided that I needed to surrender my life to Christ, cried out to God, and then He met me in a very interesting place with some people that were on fire for Jesus Christ. He spoke to my heart, and I surrendered to Him and have never been the same since.
Wow. So when opponents of what happened to you say that folks on our side are trying to promote conversion therapy,
yes,
what do you say?
Well, they're using a ruse that is actually from the 40s and 50s, of the idea that conversion is somehow bringing harm to a person. And so they ruse it with all of these things that we would attribute to things like aversion or pain therapy. And they'll even go as far as saying that some ministries or some places offer electroshock therapy. But it's like my friend Joe Dallas said, it's kind of like those fuzzy pictures of Bigfoot you see. It's like they always talk about it, but the reality is nobody finds it and it's not there. And so now they're starting to even say that churches and ministries that even offer prayer are offering what is called conversion therapy, which is another way of being able to attack religious liberties on the issue of people finding freedom from homosexuality. So we're in a very new day with the attack that's coming towards the church.
It's coming towards the church. People think, well, that's just for these people who have these programs. They're going after the church too now.
That's right. So anyone that would offer the idea that the gospel of Jesus Christ could be transformative in changing the inner workings, the inner thinking, the soul of a person through prayer, through scripture reading, through a devoted life to Jesus, they'll just call it, well, you're offering pray away the gay, and or conversion therapy and couching it as something harmful. So this is a direct assault on the gospel and on what churches can offer in discipleship care. And the church had better wake up, because this is right on the forefront of what's happening culturally.
Well, once they wake up, what do they need to do?
Well, we're going to have to stand courageously against this. And the places where states are trying to, you know, change the laws, and in 9 states now, they have anti-conversion therapy or anti-reparative therapy laws for people under 18 years of age. So they say, no, gay is the only way for the youth. So if they feel homosexual desires, like I would have, it's tragic, because it is akin to child abuse when you can't offer counseling or help to a teenager who's been confused by being molested. That's what happened to me. I wish I could have gotten counseling. I didn't even know counseling was available. And now they're trying to stop it. They're trying to make it to where that youth can't get any counseling, can't get it. They cannot get any help, because that's viewed as harmful. So it's like things are turned upside down. So the idea, orientation is not fluid, but gender is. So now they're saying you can change your gender, but you can't change your feelings or your desires and your emotions. How upside down is this? And this is actually happening all across America right now.
Well, it's happened right here in Illinois. Governor Bruce Rauner signed legislation that bans reparative therapy. So this law's in place. It's being challenged in the courts, but if the courts don't intercede on our behalf, what do we do, Stephen?
Well, I think we're going to need some really courageous men and women that will rise up. I think it needs to happen with pastors that speak to this, because if a pastor has foresight, they can see that this really is just one step from being able to prevent wholeness and a gospel message to people in the church that are dealing with all forms of sexual sin and brokenness. So we had better stand up. And just because it's the law, Monty, we can change the law. We can actually rise up and say, this is an unjust law and it must be changed. And so we're going to need some courageous people that see, that have enough foresight to see that this really is about squelching our freedom of speech and religious liberties.
Well, to change the law here in Illinois, we need to elect more conservative lawmakers. Speak to that if you could.
Yeah, we need some lawmakers that actually understand, quite frankly, the Genesis. And that means that God created male and female, and he created us in his image to bring glory and honor to him. They don't necessarily have to have, you know, a strong Christian, Judeo ethic. It would be nice if they did. But if they could just have enough, honestly, common sense to know that the normative of biology in nature, the reproduction, is male and female. And that needs to be protected, because what's happening is now we're offering chaos in gender, and we're offering chaos now to our children.
Let me ask you about that, this chaos about gender and to our children. Is that why we're seeing kids shoot up schools? Is that part of the reason? I don't want to simplify this, but, you know, when kids don't know their sex, that's got to have an impact on them.
Yeah, I think that it actually does go back to the issues of right and wrong, common sense, morality. We've taken out the Ten Commandments. We've taken out the idea that there's a creator. We've taken out the idea that you should even pray. Those things are now not legal in most public schools. So why wouldn't we have anarchy and immorality at a level where we have kids who are being told they don't have an identity? They're actually being told they're genderless. Why wouldn't we have kids that are angry and hurting and coming from broken homes want to go in and cause violence when they have not any comfort, any peace, inner healing of their soul? And that's what's transpiring. And the church needs to see that this is actually an opportunity for us to make a difference, to be able to stand up and say, enough is enough. We need to present the gospel of Jesus Christ so that lives can be changed, so that this will not happen. You think gun control is going to take care of this? No, it's soul control that needs to be. Soul transformation needs to take place in our nation, not gun control.
The church should take advantage of the situation. You know, I think some pastors say, well, yeah, I'd like to, but where do I begin? Any ideas?
Yeah, the first thing is that there's hope in the gospel, and that there's hope in the gospel in all areas of brokenness, but to not be afraid of being called names. Honestly, most pastors are afraid of being called a homophobe, a bigot, intolerant, unkind, unloving. We're going to have to put a little bit more thicker skin on and say, you know what? I'm more interested in pleasing God and saying what the truth is rather than being, you know, politically correct or, you know, somehow being emotionally passive to where we don't cause, you know, conflict or a ruckus. We're going to have to be a little bit thicker skin, because when you're dealing with the devil and darkness, it's always going to rise up against you. It's okay. If we look at the book of Acts, we win. And we have miracles that can actually even take place if we'll just be courageous enough to believe that God is in control and He has this. He has this for us. And we just need to push through and take a stand.
Talking about raising a ruckus, causing a firestorm, you're in the midst of that now. We want to talk about that when we come back on this edition of Illinois Family Spotlight.
Have you ever noticed how many churches sit empty throughout the week? Well, Freedom Project Academy wants to change that, and it's a simple concept. Partner with churches across the country to provide fully accredited, biblically based online classes that allow every church that sits empty Monday through Friday to start their own school. Let's fill up our churches all week long. Visit Freedom Project Academy because together we can faithfully educate America.
File this one under obvious. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. The Boston Globe reports that gay and lesbian baby boomers are having a tough time finding care in their old age because, among other reasons, they are 3 to 4 times less likely to have children than their heterosexual peers. Really? A number of responses would be appropriate here, including a basic biology lesson, but I think the real story is about those who spurn God's means of creating life and continuing the human race, marriage, and then they're shocked with the consequences. Same-sex relations are not what our bodies, our minds, or our society were designed for. They're intrinsically fruitless relationships that result in a class of lonely people with little or no association to future generations. The fact that gays and lesbians lack family caretakers in their old age is a lot of things, including a call to action for the church. But it's not a kind of discrimination or injustice. It's simple cause and effect. For more on faith and culture, come to breakpoint.org. I'm John Stone Street.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. Monty Larrick here, joined by Stephen Black, author and the head of Restore Hope Ministries, reaching out to young people who are trying to get out of the gay lifestyle. You're in the midst of controversy, even as we speak, Stephen Black. You've got a movie out there, and it's showing at some churches. And the radical homosexual left.
They're very unhappy with a documentary called Transformed. It was produced by Carl Sutton and David Kyle Foster with Pure Passion TV. And what this documentary is about is 14 lives that of souls of people that once were transgendered and lived that lifestyle. Many of them had actually had the surgical operations and have come full circle and repented, come back to their natural biological birth gender and have surrendered to Jesus Christ. And they hate this film because what it's showing is even in the radicalness of this transformation, people are finding lasting peace with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so it's being protested by the LGBTQ community. And there are people that even call themselves mama bears and people that call themselves, you know, lovers of their children that are saying that if you don't protest this, then you don't love your LGBTQ children. And they're saying we need to embrace our LGBTQ children and let them be in this world of chaos. And if you don't stand against movies like this or a church like in Detroit that was recently protested by thousands of people, if you don't stand against this, then somehow you're unloving. And that's what we're up against.
And one church backed down. They wouldn't show the film.
That's correct. They actually did not want us doing any kind of comments or sharing our testimonies because they felt like that my exegesis on Ephesians chapter 5 verse 5 should not include homosexuals. But it literally says that God has warned that no fornicator, no sexually impure person or covetous idolater will have any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Well, I think that that does include the homosexual and anyone who practices sexual uncleanness. This church did not and thought that it was not kind, and so they asked us not to say anything. So we had to cancel the whole screening and everything.
Let's say there's a church in Illinois that has the courage to show this. What should they do?
Well, they need to prepare. They need to understand there will be backlash, and they need to be courageous enough to handle the backlash or the people that will send a barrage of emails and phone calls, to handle them kindly, but to stand in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that lives can be changed, and then go on and present the movie and do the Q&A, and they should protect their environments with security, and they should certainly have an attendance policy. That's what we have at First Stone Ministry. So anybody attending the event has to sign off on a code of conduct and the way that they will conduct themselves in coming into the event. And if they'll protect themselves that way, and they can read all of this on our website, firststone.org, that has these documents there so that they can prepare themselves to continue to preach the truth.
So if a church would like to show transformed with a Z, transform with a Z, what do they need to do?
Well, they can go to the website www.transwithaZform.org or First Stone, all spelled out, firststone.org, and they can get a copy of the DVD, and then they can show it. It's very simple. They've already given the rights to show publicly the movie.
Well, let me ask you about what's transpired in Illinois once again. Governor Rauner, our Republican governor, signed legislation that allows people to change the sex designation on their birth certificates.
Well, again, you're going to have a lot of confused people. It's also going to... what seems to normalize for our youth, the idea that gender is fluid, that's very bad. We could talk all day just about that. But it's also going to affect businesses. It's going to affect churches. It's going to affect schools and universities, where they're going to have to provide separate bathrooms for these people. They're going to have to provide what would either be a genderless or family bathroom, along with male and female bathrooms. Otherwise, you're going to have other problems when you have men who dress up like women that are actually doing that for an ulterior motive, which we already know that this is happening across the nation, where these laws have already been changed, where they're going in and they're bringing harm to our daughters. Now, this, I'm sure, it would happen also even in male bathrooms, but they might get beat up. So there, you've got this going on all over the place. So this is going to be an expense, an actual big expense, and I don't know that the governor and I don't know that the legislature has actually thought through this, because this is going to be troubling for a lot of places.
You said separate accommodations, but we've had controversy in some of our high schools about this, and the students who refer to themselves as transgender, they want full access. They don't want to be behind a curtain or anything. They want full access to the girls' locker room, the girls' shower room, etc. We're going there, aren't we?
We are, and you're going to see a lot of parents raise up, and they're going to say enough is enough. Just watch this play out just a little bit longer, and we're going to see infringement. We're going to see harm, and then you're going to see parents that are going to sue the school systems, and you're going to see that there's going to be some real legal problems that are going to happen. And so then they will have to bring these divisions, even with the pushback. It will have to be boundaried with this kind of, honestly, chaos that's happening.
So the pushback to this law, it's law, and here again, people are saying it's law, there's not a lot we can do about it, but we could do something about this, couldn't we? This law that changes birth certificates.
Well, and here's what needs to really happen. We need to get pastors that are stop thinking the idea of politics and start thinking in the idea of being salt and light. Because pastors need to tell their people they need to vote, and they need to get out there and make their voices heard to their legislature, their representatives, and to say, we need new laws, or we need this law changed. We need a new law that actually causes this law to go away. And that can happen. We've seen it in our history. It's happened with something, as people thought back in the 20s, that prohibition would never be able to be changed. And here we have, you know, the free flow of alcohol and all kinds of even more liberal left-leaning things. But the reality is things can change, and we can change if we'll be salty enough and courageous enough to make a difference, to stand up and say enough is enough.
I think a lot of pastors may think the church is immune from this, but I can see the situation where someone who says they're transgender will come into a church and say, I'd like to use a woman's restroom.
Yeah, and that's where the church is going to need to be both steadfast in boundary, first and foremost, protecting children. But on the other side, the church is going to need to be compassionate enough to handle the people that are going to be wounded and hurt and then come full circle into Jesus Christ, and to bring accommodation, which means, yes, even the church buildings are going to need to have separate bathrooms. When you have a repentant person wanting to walk with Jesus Christ, they're not going to be offended to have to go to a family bathroom or a secure bathroom. They're going to understand. And so the church is going to need to be accommodating that way as well, to offer discipleship care to the repentant transgendered person. And so we have that. But first and foremost, the church is going to have to protect the children and to put them first. And our daughters, and to be thinking that and putting policies in place. That's why every church should have a statement of faith and their belief systems about human sexuality, what they believe, not just about the transgendered person, not just about the homosexual, but all sexual sin and brokenness, and include all of that, have policies in place to protect the church and the membership of the church.
The left will tell us that, you're saying that transgender people are criminals and et cetera, but it's the pretenders that we need to watch out for, right?
That's right. And there are people that are transgendered or people that are very much dealing with wounded chaos that need our care, that need help. But then there are these people that are taking advantage, that are coming in, men who are pedophiles, who are actually taking opportunity to do what is called peeping, and to do video. This is already documented across the nation, where these people are coming in and doing this. And so we need to be circumspect, we need to be forward thinking, and we need to protect our daughters.
Just want to take a couple minutes here, Stephen. We're speaking at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and one of the main topics is internet censorship and internet freedom, allowing conservatives like you to have a voice on Twitter, on Facebook, on YouTube, etc. And you've been victimized.
There are situations where Facebook has specifically censored me because I'm calling attention to sexual sin and brokenness. Specifically, there was a man who was involved in our ministry. He came to my author page, and I called him out on his polyamorous, homosexual, Greek Orthodox priesthood. That's what he calls himself.
Oh my.
And so I called that out as sin. Well, I got censored and blocked from Facebook. Then the second infringement was, as I called attention to people that were going to actually protest an event I'm speaking at. And because Facebook said, because I was shaming these protesters by calling them out and saying, these are the people that are protesting on my page, they blocked me again for 7 days and warned me that the next infringement, I would be taken off Facebook for 30 days and maybe permanently, because I'm shaming people that are protesting us.
The Family Research Council and National Religious Broadcasters, they're urging people to speak out and speak up on this. And you would join the chorus of people who would say, we need to do something about this.
We do. There needs to be, I think there needs to be new platforms. That's already in development, I understand, and that will connect with Facebook, and there's probably going to be a mass exodus of conservatives and Christians that are going to end up leaving Facebook and some of these liberally controlled social media platforms. But I also really think we need good legislation at a federal level that protects our freedom of speech in all airways and religious liberties. This has not been done. There's an oppressive attack on religious liberties concerning Christians that believe a Judeo-ethic Christian ethic on sexuality and morality. So we definitely need laws in place to protect us.
Stephen, let's just maybe back up just here a little. If I'm a parent and I have a child who is seeking help, where should they go? How do they go about beginning that first step of getting that help?
They can go to the national network of ministries called RestoredHopeNetwork.org, and on there, right at the top of the screen, is a little tab that says Find Help, and a national map will come up, and there are ministries throughout the United States that offer varying levels of counseling, pastoral care, and support group, and resources and teaching on these issues to equip family and friends and also the struggler.
Stephen Black, thank you so much. Your ministry, your book, and how do people connect with you?
Well, stephenblack.org is a really good way. It's easy to remember with a P-H, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, black.org. First Stone, all spelled out, .org. And then the book is freedomrealized.org.
Thank you so much. Stephen Black, God bless you and your work. God bless your family.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate you. Thank you for taking a stand on truth.
And thank you, folks, for joining us here on Illinois Family Spotlight. Until next time, God bless.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.